And let's just start with this, okay? I'm going to start with a bowl, and then we're going to do some low and higher self stuff. But let's just start with this. Just close your eyes. I want you to figure out what happens when this bowl plays. Feel that. Take a breath. Shake your body a little bit. And now again. Notice the difference between each one. And now take a deep breath in, let that out, shake your body again. Okay. And so now just, this is a different bowl. Come on back. And so now, were you able to get a different experience on each of the play, each time it played? Did something else shift each time? Or was it the same feeling each time? How was it?
The same.
It was the same every time?
Yeah, it was different.
It was different each time. Okay. All right, everybody?
At least two different.
At least two different ones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, two.
Two different ones?
Different each time.
Okay.
What was the question?
you weren't here. Okay. So what you want to practice with the bowls, and you can just do it with the audios if you want, if you don't have a bowl, is practice literally doing that, and then understand that when you have the same, the mind was perpetuating. And so it wasn't taking new information because the universe is never the same twice. Even though the bowl will have the same message, each time it plays, each time it stops, and then you start again, then you come back in, you're like a whole different universe right now. And now that bowl is going to give you another message. And so you might have had a nice message, and it might have been a good one to focus on. You know, whatever you get is always important, but being able to recognize that literally your life is totally different in every moment takes it out of this, what we were talking about, this idea that the brain is somehow in charge. And it's not. The brain is just a reactive response to the vows in all your chakras and your resistance to living your life rather than the openness. Because if the chakras were all open, every time I played the bowl, it would be a completely different experience because the universe has never been the same twice. Nothing's ever been the same twice. So as you practice this, being able to sort of stick, you know, change with the environment. If you have a hard time shifting, it's probably there's a stronger mindset that's like, oh, that was cool. Or if you had one that you liked, was it something you liked? Did it feel good on the first one?
It was nice. It didn't really affect me like when you play them other times. It just was neutral.
It was neutral.
Yeah.
So neutral means what?
Yeah.
You just weren't, you were just sitting there going, well, the bowl's playing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it wasn't coming in at all.
Not really. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's, and that's why it was the same each time because the brain was totally in charge and the body had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the chakras weren't able to listen because the brain was like, yeah, that's nice.
I feel it when you play it in the other room.
And probably if I play this again, mm-hmm. so we'll play it again. Okay. Close your eyes. Just the key is just to let your body totally experience what's now. come on back. And so that's so understand, this is the aha point, right? So this is the awakening point. And so what it's calling you to see is how to awaken in each moment. Like this is like the type of spiritual discipline you need. You know, spiritual discipline isn't sitting down and meditating and doing the same thing or, you know, yoga or whatever. Those are all spiritual disciplines for different chakras. The bowls are spiritual discipline of, am I present enough, you know, can I experience what's actually happening right now in my body and then allow it? Without an opinion, just let it go. And then have the opinion secondary. Because this is really the mastery. The master sits and the universe flows through, and then they have this brand new experience of life in every moment. So life isn't the same old thing. Everything is a new experience. So you know, how was that last? Was that different than the other times?
Yeah.
Or did you get some of the same?
Different again.
Same again?
It's a pressure in the head.
Pressure in the head. Okay, so that was what we were just talking about. That becomes the focus. So my purpose in life, my aha moment, I have to figure it out, right? It's like, if I don't figure it out, I'll be able to not do it. But the key is that what we're really working on here is, what if the aha moment is not anything you'd ever expected? So the brain said, the aha moment's going to be like, oh, it's going to be this, and it's going to be awesome. But as soon as you have that thought, it stops. You'll be able to have the aha moment. The aha moment is very simple. It's very, you know, so that's an aha moment. I'm trying to figure out my aha moments from here. So what else?
I've been getting a lot of fourth and fifth.
Fourth and fifth?
Yeah.
When that plays?
Yep.
Okay. And how is this different than another fourth and fifth? And
what last night, and it's been happening during other bowls too,
yeah.
but like last night, it didn't feel like I was going to vomit or anything, but I was telling Bill, it felt like something was pushing like in an angle from the back and trying to come out my mouth.
Huh. And what was that? What about this time?
Well, it was quick, so I didn't have time to feel into it much, but it was just a kind of a connection. Thing.
Okay, and I want you to get used to, close your eyes. That's enough. Enlightenment happens a trillion times faster than that. It happens like that. So what you got right then was a whole experience of life. Our idea that it takes time, I have to let that sink in, I have to do this, is sort of like the mind's way of putting transformation into time. Okay? So, what did you get on that one?
My jaw.
Right, boom, right away. And you're like, got the jaw. Okay, now you can, now after the fact, you can say, what was the emotion with that? Was it blocking? Was it clenching? Was it just open? You know, is it moving? What was the... So then you can add the feeling to that, right? But you get it right away. You got to understand that our brain is caught in time, okay? And it thinks everything takes time, and it doesn't. Everything's happening instantaneously in the present moment. You, as soon as the ball plays, what you experience in that moment is what we're after, okay? Even though over time I play the bowl, you can lay back, and you breathe into it, it changes, it moves, it does, like, and you can kind of pick something out of it that really stands out. But usually the very first thing is the power. What'd you get?
All four times?
Well, yeah, no, just what any of them that happened, any
ears,
that stood out.
Hmm? My ears, especially this one, mm-hmm. And then it kind of relaxed a little bit. Then it went down my body a little bit, and then it went all the way down to my feet, so I had this nice vibration all the way through
my body.
So through
the four different times, move through your body that way.
Yeah, it just kind of relaxed my whole body, and I could feel it, the vibration. It was nice.
And so that's, so learning to listen to your guidance and believing in it, then allows you to come into your body.
Okay. I also had... this morning trying to get ready, and I just need to have quiet and just think about what I need to do and do it. And my husband wants to talk to me constantly, you know, so it's like in my ears. So I was thinking about that. It's just like, I just wanted to turn it off so I could get myself going. But okay. I can relate with what you said very much. I feel like I do meditate on that. It's getting myself to slow down and hear my guides.
Okay. So remember, this is advanced spirituality here, right?
This is,
you want to get the whole thing. And your husband was your spiritual guide. Anybody standing in front of you, the universe didn't present him to you in that moment by mistake. But you were sure it was a mistake. We all do it. This happened, or that happened. You have to make some excuse for it. That was your Super Bowl moment. The universe sent him to you. He wants to talk to you in the morning.
Lucky you.
So clearly there's a something you need to be able to, there's a practice in that.
Listening.
Either listening or just enjoying that he enjoys to connect with you that way. He wants to, you know, whatever he's doing. And chances are really good that if you actually listened, he'd stop talking.
Right? try it as an experiment.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's as like, a spiritual it's like, practice wait. Experiment.
Yeah. It's like when he says something, say, wait, say that again. That was incredible.
Oh, my God. Let me stop and have a conversation.
He'll immediately go get a cup of coffee. Right? Like,
Right. Exactly. How do you feel?
Right.
That'll make him run.
but you're like, no. So you're something to push up against.
Yeah.
And it's the game you play. So it's like the bowl. The bowl comes in. It's like, that was weird. Or that, you know, like there's resistance to certain things.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, what if every moment of time is everything you need to live your purpose, to be totally enlightened? He was trying to enlighten you right then, and you were like, oh, screw that. I don't want enlightenment that way.
I want to listen to my real guides.
Right.
Right. I know just what they're going to come in and sound like when I finally hear them.
Right.
So how do you know the difference between a vow speaking to you and your guide?
Well, he's not a vow, first of all.
No, I know, but I mean, when we were talking about
How happy you are.
Oh, okay. So if it's a happy one.
So if your chakras are open, he's talking to you, you're just like, it's like angel singing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or if he's really unconscious, you can really feel in your chakras that there's a real, you know, a real need to shut down and meet him and mask. And then it's a choice, and then that gives you your choice to stay open, which allows whatever is real within them, because there's always something real within people.
Yeah.
Yeah. To do that and then allow that. So it's like, you're going to have, just listen to the inner voice.
Right.
Yeah, when you're going, shut up, right? Yeah. That's chakra that's sort of wounded around, I never got my time, I don't get, you know, I can't live without my private time. That doesn't mean that, but we have so much private time, you know? There's so much time that we're actually alone, you know, when we actually think about it. And, you know, and so it's like, where is that balance? Where's that chakra? What's that vow in there that says, I can't function without this? And then that leaves you in a sort of a limited state.
Right.
You function beautifully. You just did it with a voice in your head that was, you know, rather than saying, okay, you know, when he walks in, it's like, boom, heart chakra has to open, rather than, I need some alone time right now.
Yeah.
I just realized, when you came in, I need some alone time. I don't think that's the heart chakra. It is, I mean, it's a piece of the heart chakra. There's the, you know, there's the Eros and the Thanatos, but and that's the Thanatos piece, but the But it's probably a pattern, you know, that's a vow.
Yeah.
All right.
The bulls?
Yeah.
If I can say a thing. The bulls. So I mostly felt immediately what, like I started expanding through my second chakra.
Yeah.
And then I would feel something in my heart, like, I don't know if it felt like I was being compressed or held or, but yeah. It was lightness and heavierness.
In the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And so you know, so this is the aha bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so the enlightenment and the enlightenment was, you know, I'm still there's still hard for me to stay open in the heart.
Mm.
You know, it opens and closes. And so then you just want to notice, when do I feel like that? When do I have that feeling? You know,
yeah.
You know, when I'm not feeling like I'm worthy or, you know, I'm, you know, and then when's my heart open? And when does that chakra open up? You know,
yeah.
When you give, I mean, I think when you give and you help and you support people, that heart opens up. And when you have to do your own work, it's hard because it's like, it's rather than your own work is feeling that feeling all the time.
Yeah.
Right? But the rule keeper says, I got to be critical of myself to do my work, right? And that's that pressure on the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did Lisa's inner child class these past few weeks. And
yeah.
It was just like, my inner critic was like a giant stomping on me through the whole class. It was really hard. It was
right,
really hard.
Right. And so I want to address that because Lisa does that class and all of you will probably do it at some point. And you need to really go to the next level. Normal inner child work is going back and rewounding yourself. And it's a horrible thing to do to yourself. Because you already had enough problem being a child, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that's part of the thing. It's working with the emotions and letting the child be seen and be held and all that stuff. But it just rewounds you. And I've never seen anything good come of it other than the person's reinforced that they had a fucked up childhood and or that they didn't get what they needed. And it's, you know, so what's really important if you're going to do that, get something that you didn't get as a child, realize that there was some, and then do the what do you want meditation over and over and over, and then rewire that circuit rather than reinforce that circuit.
Okay.
Because if you're not doing things, because I heard that, you know, you were like, I couldn't get my homework in because I was having all this other stuff around this work.
I couldn't do anything.
Couldn't do anything, right.
Yeah.
And that's a sign that you're reinforcing your vows, not releasing them.
Okay.
Right? Because that's that negative voice in your head. So
yeah.
If you're having huge negative, if what you're doing is making a bigger negative voice in your head, you are supporting your, like, pouring gasoline on your vow.
Okay.
Right? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, the problem is, you know, so the inner child is, like, the inner child work is, what do you want meditation and secret place, over and over and over.
Okay.
Acknowledging that there were things that I didn't get and that I'm still resentful and I still have a hard time letting my parents give that to me, even in my own what do you want meditation.
Yeah.
But taking charge of that, and I'm sure the course is going to keep going.
No, it's over now.
Oh, it's over now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but just notice how you did the course, and what ended up happening was that there's, like you said, the shitstorm of self-criticism, which is what happened as a child.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like now I'm a child again, rather than the child archetype, which is the most important archetype for living your spiritual purpose. Okay, needs to be honored rather than the how I blocked my child archetype. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So looking at it, so taking the schoolwork, and then applying it to, yes, it's important to go back and see that there were patterns in my life that definitely created a limitation as an adult. But now I'm an adult, period, and I do my work, and the work I'm gonna do is I gotta reinforce what it's like to be in my core. Over and over and over, and that means the bowls and recognize what this feeling. So that feeling, that inner critic feeling, that sort of like I'm not good enough. you know, yeah. sort of like that tough, that's a, that you can feel that happening, all right? And that's very different than when you're like teaching Pilates, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, boom, heart's wide open.
Yeah.
And now you've got to, and that's the choice you have to make between those two things.
I actually kind of don't feel the critic. I just operate differently. Like, I know, like, it doesn't feel different in my body, but that's probably because I lived with it for so long, right?
Hmm.
And I just...
Well, just you just felt it when the bowl played. That's there all the time.
That's the critic.
That's there all the time. That's the critic.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The, I'm not good, I'm going to hold back a piece of me.
Okay.
You know, until I get the permission, until I, whatever it is.
Right.
Okay? And so that's, and so the bowl says, oh, by the way, because remember, the bowls don't do anything.
Right.
They just wake you up to a piece of your field that's already doing this. So you're here, and that's an important aspect of what you're working with, and that inner child work, that whole time that was like that.
Yeah.
And because it was like that, you couldn't do anything, because it's like if my heart's not open, if it's not okay for me to work through my childhood stuff and make it the greatest thing that ever happened to me, if I have to make it something bad, or I have to reinforce that it was that there's no, because the problem with inner child work is that you can't go back and fix it. Ever.
Right.
It's the way it is. Right. And the brain, the wound, the vow, knows that. Puts it in the brain. The brain says, you know, I can't ever, that can never be undone. I can just move on from it. Which means I'm never going to forget it, and I'm never going to forgive or forget.
Yeah.
Rather than, when my chakras open up, when I have, did any of the balls feel good? Like, out of the four times, was any of them were just like, oh my God, that was great?
Yeah, the first time was great.
What did it feel like?
I just felt the expansion.
Okay. So that's what an open chakra feels like.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had no pain. There was no struggle. There was no memory even of the inner child work you just did. Didn't even exist. Because you were
right.
alive.
Right.
And when the pressure was on, that was like, oh, you know, there's like something on me. And then your brain's gonna look for what it is. Oh, this is my childhood. That's the, I remember now, I've been working with that. I got this, you know, my husband, Jesus, you know, it's, boom. You know, I had these things, because as soon as you have that vow, it goes up to your brain. Your brain says the words of, oh my God, I'm not feeling very good, or this is down, or I'm like pressure, or whatever it is. And then it's going to look around for why.
Yeah.
And it's going to find why. But the same exact thing happens when you open up, right? Now you open up and you're feeling this expanded feeling. It's like, wow, why is that? And then you're like, oh, that's who I am. That answer is always the same. Oh, this is who I am. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So practicing that and allowing that pressure is there along with the expansion. It's like that heart's opening and closing, and it's like this is what it feels like when it's open. This is what it feels like when it's closed. And so you have to. So each time you have these bowl feelings, you got to recognize, oh, I do walk around with that tension here, but I'm sort of used to it.
Okay.
So. What'd you get, Wendy?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anything?
It was jaws and heart and my shoulder, I guess.
Okay.
Neck and shoulder.
Any good ones? Or?
They were good. I mean,
did it feel good?
But there was no, oh my God, it's so amazing.
No. But what's the? I mean, was there? What was? So tell me, the shoulder? What does the shoulder feel like? What did the jaw feel like? What did the, you know? So you had it all up in here somehow, right?
Yeah, all up
okay.
in there somehow.
All in the fifth chakra. Okay.
Go figure.
Oh.
And then talk about it? What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's fifth chakra weakened for, it's jaw weakened for me, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, why would jaw weakened? Two jaws. Well, everybody.
Two.
Okay. Why would jaw weakened be on emotional weakened?
You're not just talking about your emotions.
Well, this is where you block. This is where you block the emotions from coming all the way up.
Ah.
You just go, you clench your teeth.
I do.
Everybody does. When the emotions come up, you're like, I'm good. shut your mouth, and you block. This is energetically where you block.
And is that?
That's why knowledgeable achievers tend to have nice, really wide jaws. So like they're used to really blocking. So someone if you see someone who's got a really, you know, like the really wide, I mean, it's like, you know, part of it's genetic, but it goes along with the energetics. A person who has a really wide jaw has an incredible ability to block any emotion coming up. They're just like, they can just operate without ever, like their brain can operate. It's like totally protected from emotion.
And is that why, you know, after all the meditations and crystal bowls and all that, and then we're supposed to share, and it's like I can have the experience or I can remember the experience to talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But actually talking about my experience, you know, and being present with it both at the same time, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, very difficult.
And this is
why? That's the mastery, yeah. Because I have to have a thought about it before I can do it, rather than just let it flow out.
Well, yeah, before I can talk about it.
Right, but the greatest things you say come out of when you're really with, when that chakra's open, okay, shit falls out of your mouth and it's funny and it's in the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
And my brain's not involved at all.
And your brain's not involved.
Thank God.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you have to talk about you.
Yeah.
Then it's like I better filter that, and that's all the filter in here.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So, did you get a good bowl over the last couple of days? The last couple of days. Yesterday?
Yesterday morning.
Felt like 2 days from me.
I know, right? Yesterday morning, I was really, really happy when we left the big room.
Yep.
Oh my God. Yes.
And when you were, I remember when you played the fifth chakra bowl, it was like, oh, there are no words for this, was my experience.
Nice.
And then
it was, so there's no words for it because it was just so full, right?
Yeah, I was just, yeah.
It was just like totally.
Yeah,
because I was in that state, and there are no words for it. Right, and one of the problems with doing this work is that you realize what your natural state is, and then you realize you spend so much time not in that state. But that, it's like the vow's a groove. That's a groove. And like you said, afterward, it left you with this residual sort of happiness, just this pleasure that you have to be careful that the brain doesn't say, I want more of that bowl. And it just says, now that, so the brain's going to be like, oh, I need to remember that and do this. And it is, it's a memory, but you memorize it by then letting it continue. You know, so after the bowl stops playing, like I said, after I can play the bowl for 3 seconds, and you have that feeling, and it's like, okay, let that keep going. Where is it going? What was that energy? And then you just reconnect to the energy in your body. Because there's a fun, you know, there's some real fun in there, right? You're funny and fun, and it's like that's, you know, there's, and you have something to say about everything. And yet, when you were in your core, when the fifth chakra played, it was like, there's nothing to say about this. It's just, you just enjoy it. You know? So that's awesome. That's awesome. Jonathan? So when you weren't feeling anything, when the bowls played, it was just sort of like, is that your cool guy?
I don't know. There was some pressure, like I said, in the sixth and seventh chakra.
On the last time I played it.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is which when we'd asked before. So part of you. When we talked about the serenity mask, right? Okay, there's a big piece of that for you that's been your survival, mm-hmm. and so it's the power mask and the serenity mask sort of work together, and there's this feeling like I shouldn't be affected by life, you know? I should be fine. I mean, it's like, this shouldn't, you know, there shouldn't be things. I've got to be sort of impervious to the problems that everyone else is all the other little people are, you know, because that the power mask is like, I've got to be better than other people. I've got to be stronger. I've got to be less, vulnerable in a way. And so that's a big one for you to sort of feel that, you know, that bowl was going right through you, but your experience was, it's just nothing. It's just like, I'm good. And that's a pattern. And then the second piece of it was, it's coming from a very strong lockdown of what's possible, mm-hmm. what I allow to be possible for me. Mm-hmm. So when that was tight up here, the seventh chakra closed to, I only allow, you know, I'm not going to allow negative emotions. I'm not going to allow myself to get overwhelmed by this. Right. Okay. And then the mind says, okay, and when I'm not overwhelmed, I can do all the things I want to do. I can have my mind. So, but the truth is that inner child work, when you were a little kid, you were overwhelmed all the time. Okay. That's your nature. And that's why the shield is so strong. Mm-hmm. So practicing, what is it? When do you just go, oh, that was great. You know, like when he was, it's like, there's no words for this. It's like, I don't even know what it is, but it seems like, and it's almost like, especially for you, because you have such a strong mental grasp of yourself, it's going to be the thing you don't think is you. It's going to be a feeling that just like, that was weird. Like you were like, oh, it's just, and it did this. And when it did that thing, just sort of move down. What if in each of those, what if that groundedness, what if that, you know, that was sort of more your, so like when I come into my body and I'm just here, it's just pleasant. It's just like, what if life were just pleasant? Didn't have to be fantastic. Didn't have to be this super thing. Didn't have to be special or anything like that. It just was like, just living life. It's just, you know, pleasant.
I take pleasant.
Right, exactly. But you're going to get it in like you're going to get it, you know, the bowl kind of spoons it out to you. It's like, here, have a taste of pleasant, or have a taste of how you're blocking. You're just enjoying. You're just allowing yourself. But I think that there's also, you know, with the way you're wired, with the charismatic leader and the, you know, you have so much stuff going on there. But that's a very sensitive charismatic leader, and so you're going to get overwhelmed. And the thinker quality within you, the rule keeper thinker, is your protector. So this is your protector from that, and that creates that sort of force field around you. It really just keeps you separate from life rather than protects you. And that's I know it's why you're here. So.
Hi. Yep. So the first one, if I felt it, chest and third, it was like nice, yep. Just really nice. Second one, I started to feel a little bit of pain. Here, mm-hmm. but then it flowed a little bit. And the third one, I have more pain, and then it flowed completely. And the fourth, I just felt great. Just all
nice. Okay, so they were all working with you on this, you know, this team player heart and third chakra thing. Mm-hmm. And so the first one was like, oh, felt it here. Second one was maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Then and then the third one was okay. Now I really need to think about this and realize, oh, what if that's my life purpose? And then by the fourth one, it's like, oh, yeah, it's my life purpose. It was like your body sort of going through the stages of what you're going through. That there's a real service, driven to just surrender to that heart and action, like giving through action.
Yeah, I've had a lot of signs lately that like something's happened, and I've made some, and I just got to be here to realize it. You got to accept it or something to that effect. And also, a lot of times with the bowls, I've always had this like ring mm-hmm. right here. It's like it's almost like a block. Like my six is just like, okay, no.
Well, no, it just means that's like the ring around Saturn. That's like there's a lot of energy in your thinking. So that's, you know, you survive through your rule keeper, right? And that, you know, that strong rule keeper in there, you know, keeps you from just being present. Mm-hmm. You know, the brain is the one part of you that doesn't have any feelings, so it can't be present. Right? It doesn't have feelings. It feels what the chakras are sending, so you can experience presence when the chakras are open. But the brain itself, you know, it's really just memory and defenses, and it's really sort of like the mouthpiece there. And that's not, I mean, there's so much that the sixth chakra does beyond, you know, beyond just, you know, being the mouthpiece. It has its own sense of feelings. But the sixth chakra feelings, we tend to use the sixth chakra just for thinking. And it's really, that's like its least of its skills. Its real skill is a sensation of being like within a matrix. Okay, so the sixth chakra experiences the universal matrix and your place in it. You know, it's like and it's constantly doing that in each moment, just like the heart experiences this universal matrix of relationships you're in, and how do you fit into that, and you know, and where do you come into balance with that, you know, in each one, you know, there's a whole universe of action. There's planets spinning around. There's people walking around. There's husbands coming in, and you know, it's like there's actions in the world that are happening, and I'm in that action, and I'm part of that action. So each one has its way of doing it, and the problem is that thinking is just this like little trick that the sixth chakra learned, and we thought it was really important, and we've emphasized it so much for generations that we've gotten lost in the idea that that's an important thing, and it's really the least important thing. It's the last stop on the chain. It is important to have a cognition. I mean, it's important to cognize, and it's important to give meaning to things. But thinking is not giving meaning to anything. It's just trying to compare it to everything else and fit it into the wrong box. You know, because the thinking is just what I already know and how I'm comparing this to it, rather than knowing and you know, sort of a real cognition is like, it's just like all the pieces fall together. It's like chick, 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 and you go, oh my God. And it's always an oh my God. It's always like an aha moment. So that's why this bowl, the aha moment, you know, that's what we're after. So I don't think we really did all the way through with you. So what did you feel? You felt in the jaw?
So the quick one, it felt like pulling. Like, and that happened yesterday too, with one of them. Like the first bowl, the seventh chakra, it felt like something was pulling my chin forward.
Pulling your chin forward?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. And what did that? What was the emotion with that?
Well, I guess I wasn't into it. Like I was resisting, so it felt like something was trying to pull me forward.
Pulling my chin forward. Oh.
like how you play with your beard.
No, that feels good.
Yeah, that feels good.
Okay. This was more like a kind of.
Huh? Like I'm being called to say something. I'm really my job. You know, I'm called to bring this out there.
Huh. I'm resisting it.
Interesting.
And you're like, no.
it was more of a general resistance. I mean, thank you for bringing that up, because it's kind of like it's like with my dogs. If I'm walking my dog and I want him to come inside, and he kind of like just kind of like, you know, I'm not ready to go inside yet. That right. Kind of thing.
It was sort of that feeling like, so this was getting pulled and you were pulling back.
Yeah. But it wasn't like a no, or it wasn't like a don't do that kind of thing. It was just
We did spend a lot of time yesterday on when we did power, purpose, and business.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have an EIS, this is EIS.
It was a little show, and
he's a workaholic, and just recognizing those moments that he is being an EIS at work, and he's like, but I'm so busy, I can't do that, and so overwhelmed because this. A lot of work, and more embracing those moments and, you know, allowing them to expand. So like that pulling felt like just keep letting that come out at work and in every part of your life.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like calling to speak a truth, and you know, and I mean, of course, that's where you block the draw is where you block the feelings. So we establish that. And then it's being called, sort of like, whoa, what if we let those out? What if we connected them, not just into your head, but out into the world. Like maybe that's saying for you that you need your feelings validated. Okay, so your feelings are your feelings, but until you share them with other people, you can't get them validated. And there's a resistance to sharing with other people because it's just like, well, nobody wants to hear that crap. Right? But the truth is that if they're coming to you in your life, they do.
Yeah, I'm getting it just the last week, and we talked about some other things that happened at work where there are these opportunities that have popped up. And it's all remote work, you know, so I'm on the phone
right.
or on the video thing on the computer, so it is my voice.
Right.
And it's one of my freedom statements is that my voice is one of my best healing something or others. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, well, it has your emotion in it.
So it makes sense. It must be I'm just supposed to be doing more of it.
Yeah, so it's like being pulled out, so speaking more emotionally. And not necessarily, you know, saying, "Oh my God, I'm having this feeling right now." You know, it's like, but just having that resonance, that compassion in your voice.
No matter what the subject matter is,
or if it's an email, it's all you.
I have a EIS question for one of you. Can I ask?
Sure.
So what I hear when you talk about you feel your EIS when you're interacting with other people, and is that an EIS thing, the interaction part? Does, like, EIS require another person? Instead of, like, I'm all like, well, why aren't you being that way with yourself? And so, but that's my question, is that my misunderstanding? Like, does the EIS quality require interaction?
The EIS is really, really, especially one-on-one. You know, relationship, they want the intimacy, and yes, when they're in their core, they feel love just exists. You know, it's just like, they're just like, ah, oh, love, it's just like, I just love love. I love love, and they're in a relationship with love. But in life, you know, they find, that's why they tend to be act very needy. That's why they tend to block with the rule keeper or the thinker. So, you know, it's like comes up, and it's like, I can't be asking everybody for that stuff. But the truth is that everybody needs, you know, when they're around you, your heart's so big, they need that. But it's a matter of asking for it at the level that the person can give. If a person only has this much, you only ask for that much. You know, the emotional intelligence specialist has this much of need. Around intimacy and closeness and quietness and gentleness and all of that, they get this much. But the average person has this much. And so you get used to, you know, the emotional intelligence specialist realizes that when someone has this much and I ask them and I say, oh, that's so nice, it gets to be this much. Okay? But when they have this much and I'm like, and you're like, I need more, it gets smaller. Okay, so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're going to get betrayed and abandoned. So yeah, they need other people because it's all about the heart and the emotions, right? It's like the team player needs other people to figure out, to really even figure out what I want to do in this moment. But the emotional intelligence specialist needs other people. I mean, I guess they all need other people, you know, if you think about what they're doing. But the emotional intelligence specialist really needs the sort of the one-on-one, the tea, you know, having tea together, the enjoying, you know, just those that kind of like sharing kind of a feeling. That sort of like we're in this together, and then they can go to the next person, you know. And when they leave that person, their heart breaks. It's like, I have to go, but I'm with you now. And again, they can move from person to person that way, but they tend not to be big group type people. Whereas the charismatic leader really needs attention, needs to feel like they're impacting others. They need other people in their lives to sort of, you know, because again, they're very externally focused. And so they need to kind of feel the group and know how to deliver their message. Or, you know, and I mean, obviously, defenses are, we won't even talk about defenses right now, but these are the core qualities. And then knowledgeable achievers really are, you know, they need other people. They're the ones that need other people sort of, well, I guess the creative ideal is the least, but the knowledgeable achiever interacts with other people to really help them find a balance, so to find their own balance. They need to balance their environment, and so people are sort of part of that environment. You know, they like things quiet, they like things neat and organized and not loud, and when it's time for this or time for that. But when they're in their core, they really need other people to reinforce like their ideas of how things ought to work, and how things really work in the world have to be tested through people. So they need to sort of see their theories of how is this the most efficient way to do it, running through other people as well, and through themselves. So they do that.
Lab rats, then?
In a way, they need, you know, they really, and that's their. I mean, their gift is that they usually have the big picture, and it helps other people. So they really are helpers. When they're in their defense, they're fixers. When they're in their core, they really help people. You know, you were talking about business yesterday. I mean, that's a very knowledgeable achiever thing. We're helping you look at your business in a broader perspective, and that's what the knowledgeable achiever does.
So that's something that I've kind of struggled with, is having that feeling, that love, and feeling kind of more satisfied without having other people, because like every relationship, like a romantic relationship that I've ever had, I was trying to get that from that person. Obviously, that's what you do, but I was trying to get that. But now that you just said that, like, it's never been enough. Like,
it's never
enough. Yeah. It was in the beginning, you know, I was like, yes, this is the way it's going to be, because, you know, the newness of a relationship and all that stuff. But then eventually they disappointed me, you know, and they couldn't sustain that. And then that I took it, you know, kind of personally or whatever, right. And exactly what you just said.
And then they abandoned because they know they can't fulfill it.
Yeah. Yeah. My ex-wife actually said, I can't be the person that you think I am anymore. And but anyway, as far as that stuff goes, I actually started a couple Louise Hay books.
Yep.
Because we did the mirror work, remember on the video that I posted? We did that, I think it was the first year, very briefly, but I think you could probably start up a new course and do 3 years of just that. So, like, I'm working on the inner love type thing, and... you know, so I'm reading the one book, and then I've got the mirror one for 21 days, which I've done 3 days now in two weeks. But that's really huge. I think that's been helping me a lot, because I can't muster up that love type stuff when I'm by myself usually. I have, but I can't usually.
So... Is it a bit of a rule keeper thing to think you ought to be able to?
I just want it.
I know.
I don't know if it's...
But if you... So you have to take yourself from where you were at, right? So wherever we are right now, this is what we got. This is how open our chakras are. It's how we connect. And I see you do some videos. I can see your heart opens up in those. What if you called some of your classmates, you know, just like, if you're not feeling it, to get in the groove, you just call someone and say, hey, I just want to say hi, you know, and then you're able to realize, because there is that piece with the emotional intelligence specialist that they really, I mean, they're supposed to be able to fill themselves with love, right? But that's like, right, but we still have a lower self, we still have this needy, you know, it's super needy of other people's loving attention. And just calling a classmate and talking to them, you know, they love you. And they don't have to be like lovingly, you know, saying anything. They're just, you just can feel that it's like, oh yeah, this person really cares, and that's what you want. And whatever level they're at, you know, whatever, whether they're knowledgeable achiever, whether, you know, charismatic leader, or they're software, or whatever it is, you can feel sort of like, oh, this is how they love. I love that about them. And then that opens that sort of like that love channel for you. So don't be, don't feel like, the knowledgeable achiever in you has been kicking your emotional intelligence specialist ass your whole life, right? and so it's no different now. It's like, now I've got to do 30 days of, an emotional intelligence specialist, they don't do anything 30 days. It's like they can hardly do anything 5 minutes before they fall off the wagon. Right?
Apparently.
Right. And I love that about myself.
Right. And it's like, it's
the
just,
best thing
it's
that
just
ever
part,
to me.
Part of it. Yeah. So, all right. So, what's our time here?
So we may have one big recording.
We do, because by the time I figured out we were going around, we were already halfway there.
Okay, so it's still going?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So let's stop it, and we'll start, we'll do, we'll start